Great to have you here. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 3.3 Foundations of Effective Data Visualization. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, and you know, to really set the stage for why this matters, it's pretty amazing to think that back in 1854, just a single hand-drawn map of water pumps basically stopped a massive cholera epidemic in London.
Oh, wow, really? Just a map?
Yeah, exactly. A physician named John Snow, he didn't, like, discover new medical data or anything. He just took the existing super confusing data about where people were getting sick and, well, he mapped it visually.
Right, he gave it spatial context.
Exactly. And that single visualization made the source of the outbreak instantly clear to anyone looking at it. I mean, that is the raw world-changing power of what we're talking about today.
I love that example because it perfectly captures the stakes here. You know, usually when we talk about raw data, endless spreadsheets, complex metrics, we imagine we were just looking at the unvarnished truth, right? Like it's supposed to be cold, hard facts.
Right. People think the numbers just exist as truth.
Exactly. But the reality is looking at a spreadsheet with 10,000 rows is basically like looking at the ones and zeros of an MP3 file.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, you can stare at that binary code all day long. You can know mathematically that the information is totally accurate, but you are never going to hear the music until you run it through an audio player. Data visualization is like the media player for numbers.
The media player. I like that.
It translates that dense foreign code into a format that the human brain can actually experience and understand.
It does. And our core mission today for this deep dive is exploring how you, the listener, can become the person who builds that media player. Because the primary goal of data visualization is straightforward, but it's incredibly difficult to master.
Right, because you're trying to make information easier to understand.
Easier to understand, easier to compare, and easier to communicate. When we talk about preparing for a digitally enabled future, I mean, this isn't just some aesthetic skill where you make things look pretty. It is a critical functional skill.
For sure. Getting that translation process right or getting it wrong has massive implications for how businesses run, how scientific breakthroughs are communicated, really, how our society operates.
It does. It absolutely does.
So let's talk about what happens when that media player is broken. Like, what are the actual stakes when someone gets this wrong?
Well, the dichotomy between good and bad visualization is super stark. When visualization is poor, the risks are substantial and they compound. First off, it just confuses audiences.
Right. It does the exact opposite of what it's supposed to do.
Exactly. Instead of clarifying the data, bad design adds cognitive friction. It literally forces the viewer's brain to work overtime just to figure out what they're even looking at.
Yeah, like trying to read a completely unformatted textbook.
Yes. And second, this confusion often hides important insights. You might have the cure for a disease or, I don't know, the key to a company's financial turnaround sitting right there in the data. But if it's buried in a chaotic 3D pie chart,
nobody's going to see it.
No one will see it. And ultimately, that leads to a huge reduction in credibility. If leadership or the public cannot understand your charts, they just will not trust your conclusions.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I think there is a very common assumption out there, especially among, you know, highly technical people. Like, if I've done the research and I put all the raw, mathematically accurate data right in front of my audience on a slide, shouldn't the numbers just speak for themselves? Why does the visual design matter at all if the math is bulletproof?
Yeah, that is the trap so many professionals fall into. The reality is, human brains simply are not wired to process raw numerical data at scale. We just aren't.
We're not built for giant tables of numbers.
Exactly. We are biologically evolved to be visual creatures. We are highly attuned to patterns, to contrast, size, movement. So the numbers absolutely do not speak for themselves. They require an interpreter.
Got it.
And that brings us to the first foundational concept, which is simplicity. Clear visuals improve understanding by aligning with how our brains actually naturally process information. When you strip away the noise,
like the grid lines and stuff.
Yeah, the grid lines, the unnecessary borders, those distracting background colors. When you remove all that and focus entirely on the signal, you dramatically reduce the cognitive load on your audience.
Wait, but if I'm presenting to a room full of like seasoned data scientists and I strip out all the complexity, won't they feel patronized?
Right.
Like, where's the line between keeping it simple and just dumbing down the work?
Ah, that tension you're describing is exactly why simplicity is meaningless without the second core concept, which is Audience awareness.
Okay, audience awareness.
Right. Simplicity doesn't mean being simplistic. It means removing friction. So visuals must fundamentally match the audience's specific needs and their prior knowledge level.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so if you are presenting to that room of data scientists, a complex multivariable scatter plot might actually be the simplest way for them to consume the data.
Because they already speak that language.
Exactly. They speak that visual language fluently. So for them, simplicity just means removing the visual clutter so the actual data points shine.
Okay. But if I take that exact same data to, say, a board of marketing directors, the approach has to change.
Completely. For a marketing board, that same scatter plot would cause immense cognitive friction. They'd just stare at it. For them, simplicity might mean aggregating all those thousands of data points into a single clean trend line that just shows whether sales are going up or down.
Right.
The visual design directly affects understanding, which means the design must adapt to who is doing the understanding.
That reframes the whole process. If the ultimate rewards of strong visualization are, you know, improved understanding, higher engagement, better communication, and the really big one, accelerated decision making, then deeply knowing your audience is the key that unlocks all of those benefits.
It really is. It removes the hesitation that stems from confusion. When an audience instantly grasps the narrative of the data, they can confidently make a decision right then and there.
All right, so understanding the theory behind simplicity and audience awareness is great. But let's get practical for a second.
Sure.
Let's say you are sitting at a desk, staring at a blank screen, trying to build a presentation for tomorrow morning. How do we actually apply this? What are the mechanical strategies for doing this right?
Well, it starts with perhaps the most common stumbling block, choosing the correct chart type.
Sounds basic, but I bet it's not.
It sounds incredibly basic, but it heavily relies on human cognitive psychology. For example, why do we use a line chart to show a trend over time?
Because it looks like a timeline.
Exactly. In Western cultures, our eyes naturally track lines from left to right, matching how we conceptualize time moving forward. The visual physically maps to our brain's expectation.
And what about bar charts? Why are they the default for comparing different categories?
Because human beings are remarkably good at judging and comparing lengths on a common baseline. Like if you put five vertical bars next to each other, our brains can instantly tell which one is the tallest and roughly by what percentage.
Right. It's instant.
But on the flip side, we are terrible at judging angles and areas, which is exactly why complex pie charts are almost always a bad idea.
Because we can't easily tell if one slice is like 20% or 25%.
Exactly. Choosing the wrong container for your data instantly causes confusion.
Okay, so step one, match the chart to the psychology of the viewer. What's next?
Step two is to keep the visuals explicitly simple and readable. Just strip the junk. Step three is highlighting the important information clearly.
How do you do that without making it look messy?
You can do this by using contrast or size to draw the viewer's eye directly to the most vital data point before they even consciously realize what they're looking at.
Oh, like making one bar a different color.
Yes, exactly. Make the key bar a bold color and let the rest fade into a muted gray. It guides the eye. And step four is vital. Avoid unnecessary design complexity.
Unnecessary design complexity is everywhere. It's like taking a beautifully composed, clear photograph and slapping 10 different filters on it just because the software lets you.
Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right. You throw on a heavy vignette, bump up the saturation, add an artificial lens flare, and suddenly, instead of making the subject look better, the viewer's just staring at the special effects. You lose the subject entirely.
That is a perfect way to conceptualize it. You obscure the truth of the image under the guise of quote-unquote design.
Yeah.
To guard against that impulse, there is a fundamental reflection prompt you should really internalize.
What is it?
Before you export any chart or graph, look at it and ask yourself, how can I make this data easier for others to understand?
How can I make this data easier for others to understand?
Exactly. If adding a 3D drop shadow or a rainbow color palette doesn't answer that question with a resounding yes, delete it.
I love that. That fundamentally shifts the designer's mindset from, look how proficient I am at using this software, to look how much I value your time and attention as my audience.
Yes. It frames data visualization as an act of empathy. And to see these mechanical strategies translate into real-world success, let's look at a practical scenario from academic and professional life.
Okay, let's hear it.
Imagine a student researcher who has spent months gathering critical environmental data, say, They're tracking local water pollutants across an entire county. Initially, they tried to present this research using incredibly dense, overloaded scatter plots that basically looked like a chaotic swarm of bees.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. The kind of presentation that makes the audience physically squint and lean back in their chairs.
Precisely. The cognitive load was so high that no one, not even the professors, could parse what the data actually meant. The impact of the research was totally flatlining.
So what did they do?
Well, this student applied these exact foundational principles. They went back to the presentation and systematically simplified. They abandoned the scatter plot and chose a chart type that matched the audience's physical reality, a simple geographic heat map.
Oh, mapping it to the actual county.
Right. They removed the grid lines, stripped away the complex legends, and used a single contrasting color, just bright red, to highlight one massive, undeniable hotspot of pollution over a specific neighborhood.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. That student didn't go back to the field to collect new water samples. They didn't change the underlying math of their research at all. They just became a significantly better translator of the data they already possessed.
They optimized the delivery mechanism, yeah. And the result was night and day. The audience instantly grasped the severity of the issue, and the presentation quality dramatically improved. They finally understood the value of the research because the visual narrative was actually clear.
And thinking about you, the listener, as you prepare for your future careers, this ability to translate is a massive competitive advantage. Think about the reality of any modern corporate or organizational environment.
It's just a flood of data.
Exactly. Leadership teams are completely overwhelmed with information overload. Every department has endless metrics. But the person who can step into that overwhelming noise and translate it into a clear, simple, accurate visual summary, that person becomes entirely indispensable.
They really do. In a digital workplace, clarity is the ultimate currency. But we do need to pause here because with that immense power to simplify complex data comes a very real, non-negotiable ethical responsibility.
Right.
You must translate honestly. And that brings us to a crucial core concept, which is accuracy.
So we've established that stripping away the noise helps the brain process data. But there's a dark side to simplification, right? If you strip away the wrong data or the wrong context, you aren't just simplifying anymore. You're lying.
You hit the nail on the head. Accurate visuals build trust. But when you simplify data, you are acting as an editor. You are making subjective choices about what to highlight in the foreground and what to leave in the background.
And that can be manipulated.
Yes. That curation process must always represent the truth of the data, honestly.
So how easily can we be tricked when we are on the other side of this, when we are just scrolling through news feeds or sitting in a corporate meeting consuming these reports?
Frighteningly easily. I mean, poor visualizations, whether they are created deliberately to deceive or just accidentally through incompetence, can completely distort meaning.
Can you give an example of how that works?
Sure. Let me give you a mechanical example. Imagine you see a bar chart comparing two things, and the bar on the right looks twice as tall as the bar on the left. Your brain immediately concludes, wow, that is 100% increase.
Right, double the size, double the impact.
Exactly. But if you look closely at the vertical axis, the creator might have started the baseline at 40 instead of 0. So the actual difference between the two data points is only 1 or 2%, not double.
Oh, wow. Because our visual processing kicks in milliseconds before our analytical processing.
Exactly.
By the time our brain actually reads the tiny numbers on the axis, the emotional impact of the massive visual difference has already anchored itself in our minds.
Yes. Misleading an audience is remarkably easy to do using basic design tweaks like truncating an axis, changing the aspect ratio to flatten out a dangerous spike, or even just cherry picking which dates to show.
That's wild.
Therefore, the ethical responsibility of the creator is absolute. Representing data honestly is a fundamental digital future skill. You must operate with a dual mandate. You have to be an ethical creator of visualizations, and you must cultivate the digital literacy to be a highly critical consumer of them.
Be clear, but be honest. I think that is the perfect mantra for the modern information worker.
It is. So, knowing that ethical, clear communication is crucial, how can you start practicing this today? We want to offer some practical growth advice to build your digital confidence right now.
I love a good hands-on challenge. How do we test this?
If you want to test this right now, I have a challenge for you. As soon as you are back at a screen, open up a blank document and attempt to create a simple chart. But here is the strict constraint.
Okay, what is it?
It must clearly communicate exactly three things to the viewer. One comparison, one trend, and one key insight.
Huh?
Nothing more.
Wow, limiting yourself to just one comparison, one trend, and one insight sounds incredibly restrictive, especially if you're dealing with like a mountain of interesting data. It's almost agonizing to leave things
It
out.
is agonizing, yeah. But that constraint is exactly what forces you to prioritize. It builds the muscle of identifying the signal in the noise.
And what tools should we use for this?
Well, to execute this, you don't need expensive software at all. There are several practical digital tools that are industry standards and incredibly accessible. First, there is Canva, which is fantastic for producing straightforward, clean designs quickly.
Oh yeah, Canva is brilliant for when you need a quick visual summary for a slide deck and you want the aesthetic to be clean without spending hours on it.
Exactly. For something more robust, there is Tableau Public. This is a powerhouse tool if you have complex data sets and you want to build interactive visualizations where the user can actually hover over data points and explore the information themselves.
Very cool.
And finally, there is DataWrapper, which is widely used in journalism for creating incredibly crisp, accurate, and easily embeddable charts.
So that's a great progression. Canva for quick visual summaries, DataWrapper for clean reporting, and Tableau for deep interactive dashboards.
And for those listening who want to push past the software and really deepen their understanding of the cognitive science behind all this, there are phenomenal university and educational resources available openly.
Like where?
You should specifically look into the MIT visualization resources, the Harvard data visualization resources, and the Stanford visualization resources.
The fact that institutions like MIT, Harvard, and Stanford have dedicated vast resources to this shows how serious the field has become. We aren't just talking about making pretty slides anymore. We are talking about a dedicated science of human-computer interaction and cognitive psychology.
It truly is a science. Which brings us to the culmination of our discussion today. Let's bring it all together so you can carry this forward into your lifelong learning journey. We have uncovered several critical takeaways during this deep dive.
Let's hear them.
First, simplicity improves communication by reducing cognitive friction. Second, accurate visuals build absolute trust with your audience. Third, visual design directly affects understanding because it must cater to the viewer's specific literacy. And finally, the ultimate goal. Good visualization supports faster, better decisions.
Better decisions. That is the ultimate ROI on this entire skill set. And to help anchor all of this in your daily practice, there are three knowledge check questions from the source material. I don't want you to treat these as a pop quiz.
No, definitely not.
Instead, think of these as provocative thoughts to ponder the next time you open up a spreadsheet or read a news article. First, why is simplicity so fundamentally important in data visualization? Second, how specifically can poor visualizations mislead an audience's brain? And third, why should your visuals always adapt to match your audience's needs?
If you can articulate the answers to those three questions while you work, you are well on your way to mastering this foundation.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to encourage you to stay relentlessly curious, stay incredibly responsible and honest with the data you share, and keep preparing yourself to be truly future-ready in this digital age.
And to ensure you lock in these concepts, please make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the accompanying workbook activities.
Good advice.
Also, to expand your expertise, we highly recommend exploring these three essential reference materials: storytelling with data, the visual display of quantitative information, and information dashboard design.
Thank you so much for joining us and investing this time in your own digital skill set.
Thank you. It has been a privilege to explore this with you.
Remember what we talked about at the very beginning. Raw data is just like that dense binary code of an MP3 file. It has all the potential in the world. The music is in there, but without clarity, nobody can hear it. Your opportunity moving forward is to be the media player, be the translator, bring the noise into focus. Until next time.